Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, everybody. It is the White Riot Show. Welcome to tonight's episode. This is your host, Big Fat John. Oh, and there's no one else here in the studio. That's because Judo Larry M is off on assignment. His security gig has taken him far overseas to parts unknown. I say parts unknown only if you don't feel like saying the Scandinavian countries, which is where my good friend Judo Larry M has gone on assignment. Interestingly enough, that's where the riots in Sweden are taking place. Hopefully Judo Larry M won't have to bust out any sort of vicious judo moves in order to protect his clients, or himself for that matter. But anyway, we're going to look forward to next week when Judo Larry M is back in the States, back in our Brooklyn studios, right here, the White Riot Studios, where he can tell us about his exploits, let us know what happened over in Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and wherever else he happens to be touring. So we're looking forward to that. But until then, I decided to go old school and go do a solo podcast for all our fans out there. That's right, all six of you get to listen to Big Fat John pontificate all by himself without a co-host. So let's see how long I can keep this up. Let's see how long I could talk, which, if you know Big Fat John, can be quite a while in most circumstances. All right. First things first, let's get the pimping out of the way. The White Riot Show can be found on the internet in various places, not the least of which our primary base of operations, the WhiteRiotShow.com website, WhiteRiotShow.com. You can also check us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM. Just go look for the White Riot Show. Just search on any of those platforms, and there we are. You'll find us there. You could go to podcast.com, a lot of different places. Everywhere you could think of looking for a podcast, the White Riot Show is there. Also, you can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/White Riot Show. We have our own channel there where you can catch full episodes if you prefer. Also, the exclusive home of the world-famous Riotous Clips. That's those 2-3-4 minute little clips of Judo Larry M and Big Fat John. Our best bits, funny, moving, insightful clips. You can play those whenever you have a few minutes to yourself. Perk up your day a little bit. Use it for information against some rotten liberals. Whatever you want. The Riotous Clips on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/White Riot Show. And of course, you could go to facebook.com/White Riot Show. Leave a comment. Or just listen to the show right there on Facebook.com. Or join the troll-like fun that we have on Twitter.com/White Riot Show, where you can follow Judo Larry M and Big Fat John as they really bug the shit out of, let's face it, mostly liberals. Little twats like Piers Morgan, Pete Dominic. Who else do we annoy on a regular basis on Twitter? Most of the MSNBC crew, Touré, Chris Hayes, all those guys, and gals. Well, does Rachel Maddow count? I'm not sure which category to put her in. But anyway, regardless, you can catch us following and bothering those very esteemed liberal voices. But also, on occasion, we will take it up with some conservative/libertarians if we feel they're being stupid, as in when they start calling for the impeachment of President Obama. Not a fan of President Obama, but I don't think really he needs to be impeached. However, someone needs to give that guy a good talking to, I think. On the heels of his first three scandals, starting 2 weeks ago, right? We've had Benghazi. We've had the tapping of AP reporters and editors' phones. Then we also have the IRS targeting Tea Party groups and right-wing organizations based solely on their political affiliations. And, of course, the creme de la creme right now, which is going after Fox reporter Jesse Rosen. James Rosen, excuse me. Now, what's interesting about this is, last week when Judo Lariam and I were discussing the situation with the AP, I ranted and railed and said, listen, is this what it's going to take for the mainstream media to finally wake up and recognize that the Obama administration might be the most deceitful, the most tyrannical, the most strong-arming administration, at least since the Nixon administration, and probably one of the worst, say, since television. Okay, I'm not going to pretend to know what happened during Lincoln's time or Warren G. Harding's time. But let's say in the last 50 to 60 years, maybe 75 years, this might be one of the worst administrations when it comes to the way they think they can run roughshod over everybody's liberties. Now, I know what you're going to say. Are you making a mountain out of a molehill? Are you defending a Fox reporter who happens to agree politically with the way you think most of the time? No. But last week we said, and I said specifically, will this be what makes the mainstream media actually stand up and criticize this president for once? Look at him critically instead of like some lovelorn teenage girl who's willing to drop to her knees and fellate the man of her dreams. Okay? Because that's really what the mainstream media is. They can't wait to blow President Obama. And they can look past his transgressions. They can look past his foibles. They can look past his ugly days, his bad hair days, as it were. And now, now this is shocking. Now we're hearing things like, well, maybe Eric Holder went a little too far. Maybe treating this Fox reporter, this James Rosen, as a criminal, naming him as a co-conspirator, a potential criminal co-conspirator, that Attorney General Eric Holder personally signed off on that warrant that named James Rosen as a potential criminal co-conspirator? Maybe that's going a little too far. I mean, really, in one of his few actions to unite both the left and the right, it comes over Obama basically authorizing Eric Holder to go after a Fox News reporter. Now, we all know how President Obama feels about Fox News. He very often refuses to do their shows. I think at one point he may have even called them his sworn enemy, whether it was in jest or seriousness. But the fact is, he doesn't like to be grilled by the type of news that Fox News is, right? He doesn't want to be given hardball questions. He wants those softballs. He wants the, like, hey, I'm the first African-American or half-African-American president in the history of the United States. Please don't treat me critically. By the way, just about everything can be answered with, it's George Bush's fault. Don't blame me. All right? And we're seeing it again. Now, in what is what I can only term to be delicious irony and a delicious opportunity for libertarians to turn around and say, I told you so. When the mainstream media is bitching about the Second Amendment, and is the Second Amendment archaic? Do we need a new constitution? Do we need to get rid of that pissy old constitution because it's out of touch? It was written when muskets were the rule of the day in terms of personal defense. Let's get rid of that Second Amendment. And, you know, you have conservatives and libertarians like myself and Judo Lariam that says, hey, basically, the First Amendment is protected by the Second Amendment. You try to shut me up, U.S. government, and I got a piece that tells me that maybe you have to work at it, that you can't silence me. You can't silence honest people or dishonest people. The First Amendment is there to protect all sorts of speech. Very few classifications of speech fall under some sort of criminal wrongdoing. And this wasn't one of those cases for James Rosen. So what you're looking at here is a government that, since Benghazi at the very least, has engaged in a consistent and persistent series of efforts to control the media, to intimidate political opponents. Maybe Obama picked this up from his buddy Chavez in Venezuela before he kicked off. But the truth of the matter is, here, please, don't, all you liberals, all you goofy teenagers and college kids that voted for Obama because he was so intelligent and so honest and so willing to be like Jack Kennedy, please don't make excuses for this guy. Because if you're saying that he didn't know what Holder did, if he didn't know what Hillary Clinton was doing over at State with the Benghazi situation, if he didn't know what happened with the AP spying, if he didn't know what happened with the IRS, then you're left with the conclusion that he's an ignorant fool. So you choose which one it is. Is he an ignorant fool, or is he a Chicago thug politician that only knows how to intimidate people? Uses his office to intimidate opposition. Is that what's going on? Because that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to me. And I'm not here to be prone to sound like Alex Jones, because I think Alex Jones is an idiot. But you can't tell me that Eric Holder just happened to pick out a Fox News reporter. You can't tell me that the IRS and Lois Lerner just, you know, they made a mistake in judgment when they went after only conservative groups. It just was coincidence that the cover-up on Benghazi happened 6 weeks before the election. It was an honest mistake to take terrorist actions and instead of blaming terrorists, blame a dopey filmmaker in California who made a 14-minute YouTube video criticizing Allah or Muhammad or whatever the fuck got those people upset. So you see, this is the situation that the mainstream media needs to stand up. They should have stood up against this guy a long time ago, but now it's their First Amendment rights that are at risk. You know, I heard on CBS News this morning with Charlie Rose, the report about when they were talking about James Rosen, they said the reporter said there's already this chilling effect where a lot of Washington reporters are just not getting information back from whistleblowers and other contacts because they're afraid. They're afraid that the reporters are somehow being bugged by the Justice Department. So it's already having the intended effect. Even though they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, Obama and his Chicago politician thug friends are getting away with it. Whistleblowers are now afraid to come forward. Right? The Benghazi whistleblowers have been treated like crap. You've got reporters who are trying to do their job. They're not being named as potential criminal co-conspirators by the Department of Justice. You've got AP editors' phones being wiretapped. And when all else fails, you could always sic the IRS on people. An old Nixon/Clinton way of doing things. So come on, let's be honest here. We know what's going on. We know that this is nothing more than an act of intimidation. And maybe now, you dopey liberals, you dopey leftists, you socialists, you communists, you understand the extreme wisdom of the founding fathers who put together that Bill of Rights for the people. And each one of those 10 Bill of Rights is there for the specific purpose to protect the governed, the people, against their government. The First Amendment protects our right of free speech against the government, or right of free speech not being abridged by the government, the right to peaceably assemble, right? That's the First Amendment. They made it number one because they thought that was the most important one, a free press, freedom of speech. Number two is the right to arm yourself so that nobody fucks around with number one. Okay? It has nothing to do with muskets, the Second Amendment. It has nothing to do with a militia. It has nothing to do with hunting. It has nothing to do, really, with self-defense against criminals. The truth of the matter is that amendment is there as a deterrent, or the best deterrent possible, against a tyrannical government. Yeah, you could use it to go hunting. You could use guns to go hunting, obviously. You can use guns to defend yourself against a criminal. But what it's really there for is to protect yourself against Obama, Holder, and his goon squad from maybe pushing you around when you flap your gums too much. When Big Fat John is sitting here by himself in the Brooklyn studios of the White Riot Show, and he's criticizing the president, maybe there's a piece in here, legally owned, to make sure that I can flap my gums. That's what the Second Amendment's about. And the rest of the amendments all have their place as well in the Bill of Rights. It's funny, though, Lois Lerner had no problem invoking her Fifth Amendment right when she was being questioned about why she was curtailing the First Amendment right of Tea Party groups. How ironic. How interesting. So you have this situation that we have a government right now that is nothing more than a thug government doing its best to become a third world dictatorship. Obama is finally living up to his promise of becoming like his heroes, Chavez, Castro, Che Guevara, I don't know, Stalin, Lenin, whoever the hell our left-wing president admires. Okay? Robert Ayers? I don't know. William Ayers? Robert Ayers is a linebacker in the NFL. I got that name confused. But you get my point. Or hopefully you get my point. All right. You're listening to the White Riot Show. You're listening to the slightly perturbed, or overly perturbed, Big Fat John. Judo Larry M. is away. This week, he's in Europe, attending to his personal business, his private business, that being the business of security for high-profile clients. I'm not at liberty to tell you who he's bodyguarding this week. And the truth, the reason I'm not at liberty is because I don't know who the hell he's got. He knows better than to tell me who he's bodyguarding this week, who he's running security for, because he knows I'd have the temptation of spilling my guts. And I don't want to do that to my good friend, Judo Larry M. So, really, I don't know who he's bodyguarding. I'll tell you one thing, though. Maybe we could have used a little bit of Judo Larry M. in London this week. A poor soldier just standing in the street hacked to death by two Muslim terrorist savages. Right in the street. Hacked to death. With a meat cleaver and a knife. And this guy hung around long enough for the cops to come. Because, as all good terrorists, he had a statement to make. He commandeered the attention of a witness, of a shocked witness, talked into the cell phone camera, and just waited for cops to show up. And amazingly enough, like, he wasn't blown to bits by the cops. Now, maybe, I guess, they needed him alive for questioning or whatever. But in the 30 minutes it took for the British bobbies to respond, the soldier died. This guy gets a forum, this savage, this animal, this inhuman, all because he wanted to rail about the glories of Islam, Allah, also to toss out some threats at the British people, to look out, that their kids are next. Okay? Can we please stop pretending that all fanatics are the same? That all religions, whether you support them or not, if Judo Larry M was here, I'm sure he'd pop up and he'd say, well, this is why I hate religion. Let's be honest here. There's only one religion in the world today that's really at this level of nonsense. Christians don't act this way as a religion. Buddhists don't act this way as a religion. Taoists don't work this way as a religion. Jews don't work this way as a religion. There's only one religion where this is promoted. Since yesterday, not one imam, to my knowledge, has popped up anywhere. Not one mullah has popped up anywhere to say, hey, we don't condone this. You know why you don't hear anybody say that? Because nobody believes it. The only people who make apologies for these savage animals are reporters and PC cops. Uh-oh, let's not judge all Muslims by the acts of one deranged person. You know what? If it happened once, maybe I could agree with that. But if it becomes a regular occurrence like it is right now, then I can't say that it's the exception, it's the rule. And I know some liberals out there say, well, what about the Christians that bomb and destroy abortion centers? You know, that's a hack excuse, and it's overused. And if you ever stopped and thought about it, A, it doesn't happen that often. It hasn't happened that often. And when it does happen, within 5 minutes, every Christian leader comes out and says, we're against it. This is not what our religion is about. We don't condone this. We disavow this. The only people who avowed, protected that might be the one idiot that sent the guy there to commit the act of violence to begin with. But where's the condemnation? See, it might be a little bit easier for me to believe that Islam is a peaceful religion, despite the fact that it says that you should kill all infidels who refuse to convert to Islam. But that aside, I might believe that it was a peaceful religion if the acknowledged leaders in the religion would come out and say, hey, we don't believe in this. As a matter of fact, here's a plain statement to all our followers and believers. Don't be hacking soldiers in the street. Don't take meat cleavers to women and children. Don't strap bombs to your chest and blow up buildings. Don't leave pipe bombs in the middle of a marathon. Why haven't we heard that? Very simply, because this is the goal. So can we stop pretending, at the very least, that we're under attack? Can we stop pretending that there's a war going on? Whether it's in England, the U.S., Europe, some African nation? Can we please pretend, stop pretending, rather, that all is well, and that this is just a few isolated nut jobs? You know who isolated nut jobs are? The people who shoot up schools. The guy, the Batman killer in Aurora. These are isolated nut jobs. Not someone who gets trained, is encouraged by his spiritual leaders. These are not isolated incidents. These are carefully trained killers who seek to do the most damage possible under the approving eye of their religious leaders. That's what it is. That's all it is. And for example, I noticed that in some of the, not all, but some of the news accounts of what happened in London made it a point of beginning the tape of the assault after these guys were caught on film yelling Allahu Akbar and stuff. Because obviously the intent there was not to put the focus on radical Islam. Ooh, why? That's what it is. Why can't we just say what it is? It's nonsense. It is utter nonsense that we cannot bring ourselves as a society, both in England and here, to say that there are killers among us, there are organized killers among us that have no political agenda. This is not, look, as fucked up as the IRA is, at least they had a political goal. I don't condone anything the IRA ever did. And I'm not even going to address their political motives, whether they, you know, about the freedom of their homeland, whatever, okay? I can dig that. But with them, at least they had a political goal. Hey, if you give us our freedom, our political, separatism, whatever, this will stop. That's not the case with these fundamentalist, and I'm even catching myself saying fundamentalist Muslims, fundamentalist Islam. There is no endgame. Their endgame is the utter destruction and elimination of any non-believer. That's all it is. There's no like, hey, if you give us back this part of the West Bank, or if you give us this nation, or if you give us this much money, or if you give us this much political power, we're going to stop. We're fighting for that. No. They're fighting for the elimination of the West. They're fighting for the elimination of Christians. They're fighting for the elimination of Buddhists, of Hindus, of Jews, of anybody else that isn't what they are. And it hasn't been getting better over the last 5,000 years. So whether you're dopey enough to lump all religions in the same sack, if you're a non-believer, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you're just down on organized religion, if you're dopey enough to lump all these different, to equate Buddhism with Islam, to equate Christianity with Islam, to equate Judaism with Islam, you're out of your fucking mind. Just wake up and smell the coffee. All right? Let's get that straight. And that is one of the things that we have to be true to ourselves, or else we will not end up on the right side of this battle. I guarantee you. Because there are a whole bunch of people on the other side that don't care about dying, that don't care about anything resembling morality, the way we understand it. Right? Everyone's a target. Women, children, the old, the young, the sick, the infirm, the healthy, everyone. There's no discrimination. The only discriminating factor for these animals is whether or not you're one of them. If you're one of them, they'll spare you. Maybe. Anything short of that, you're on the hit list, pal. That's all there is to it. So let's admit it. You know, London's going to have a tough problem because a significant portion of their population in Great Britain, you know, are Muslims. It's a growing percentage of the population there. They're going to have a tough time. And again, I can almost see the hate mail coming in. I could almost see the tweets coming in. Are you saying that every Muslim deserves to be killed, or every Muslim is evil, or every Muslim in the world hates every other Christian or Jew or Buddhist or Taoist in the world? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Please don't paint me to be a maniac. What I am saying, however, is that we cannot ignore the fact that there is a movement that does not think the way we do. It's not a conventional army that's coming to fight us. It's not a Cold War that's coming after us. It's not an ideological Cold War. It's very much that there are a group of people unified by a religious ideology, by a theology, if you want to put it in terms of politics, by an ideology. And that ideology, that theology, has only one goal: kill the infidels. Period. Anywhere they may live, kill the infidels. Now, let's keep that in mind, okay? It doesn't mean that when I go to my office, when I go to my store, that I don't have Muslim friends, or that I don't have Muslim acquaintances or customers. I'm not the bigoted idiot who is putting everybody in one bucket. But at the same time, I don't have my head in the sand. I'm not turning around saying it was one bad apple. It was one renegade idiot who took a meat cleaver to this poor kid's head in the streets of London. That's not. Either extreme is the incorrect position. What is correct is to realize what the situation is for what it is. And ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. We are trying to defend our way of life, not just in the US, not just in the UK, but everywhere. Everywhere. Eventually, this will come to everyone everywhere. How do we resolve it? I would love to tell you that we could resolve this diplomatically. I would love to tell you that. I don't know that I can, though. There are some countries, obviously, that have Islam as a state religion that are a little bit more progressive. Maybe we need to model them. Believe it or not, Iran is one of those states. Iran, even though it still is an Islamic nation, they're doing their best to keep things under control there. And if they had a president who wasn't a nut job, a secular nut job, then maybe we could get somewhere with them. Because the people of Iran are actually pretty pro-West from what my understanding is. It's in their case, it really is a few powerful religious leaders and people who claim to be religious devotees that are really ruining that nation. The people overall, though, are pretty modern. They're educated. They're college educated. They're fairly liberal when it comes to their women, compared to the other Muslim states, of course. Maybe we use Iran as some sort of model. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I just know that I can identify when someone's coming to get me. And I think all of us need to do that, starting with the press. So as much as when I opened this this show, I criticized the press. I defended the press by saying they have the First Amendment right to do this sort of work, and Obama's kind of stepping on their throat. At the same time, do something reasonable with your freedom, press. Report on what's happening as what's happening, not as the way you would like it to be. This reported, it was a terrorist act. Play the whole tape that you have. Play the tape of this guy praising Allah before he kills, or right after he killed that poor soldier. Why are you looking to mitigate the connection between the murder and radical Islam? Why are you looking to minimize that connection? Is it because you're afraid that we're all animals, meaning the viewers, and the second we see this, we're going to go out and lynch the first Muslim-looking person that we run across? Is that what you're afraid of? Don't be. Tell us what it is, because that's the first step to recovery, admitting there's a problem. And the problem here is that we have a media that's more concerned with offending the sensibilities of the people committing these savage acts than they are about it just calling it what it is, an act of savagery, of terrorism, of intimidation. So get off your asses and do what's right, media. And again, you know, horrible to hear what happened in London. And look, this is going to be par for the course, unfortunately, in any civilized society that encourages diversity, or even at least tolerates diversity. Yes, the United States falls in that category. The UK falls in that category. And I'm not talking about diversity the way it's used in some dopey corporate seminar or by Reverend Al. I'm not talking about that type of diversity. I'm talking about a diversity where it's not illegal for differing religions, differing cultures, differing ethnicities to coexist. Because there are those countries, you know, where if you're not of the state religion, you're not of the primary ethnicity, guess what? You're on your way out, or you're getting your throat cut. So step back and appreciate what you have in this country and defend it. If you can't pick up a gun, if you can't join the military to defend this country, at least defend it ideologically. Admit who the enemy is. Admit what the problem is. I don't understand why this is so difficult. Anyway, that's enough on that. That's enough of a rant on that, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The White Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John. Missing from the studio this week are my good buddy and co-host, Judo Larry M. And you know what, folks? I think we're going to start playing around with this Vine feature. Have you heard of Vine? I know I sound like an old fart right now, an old codger. Have you heard of the internet? But, you know, if you have the Vine app, or if you're on Twitter, I think we're going to start posting a couple of these Vines every week. So I've already posted one. I'll repost it. I posted my first Vine of me kind of warming up for this episode by myself with no Judo Larium. Just warming up. So you could check that out. Next week when Judo Larium is back, we'll get a little bit more serious about the next Vine episode. And for those of you that don't know, Vine is a little bit of an app. You put it on your iPhone, your Android, or even on your computer. And it lets you record 6-second videos. That's it. The maximum is like 6 seconds. So think of it as Twitter for video. And basically, there's a lot of really creative, innovative people out there. I know Will Sasso, who used to be on Mad TV, has some really, really entertaining minds. If you go to Google, just go on Google and Google Will Sasso Vine, or it might even be, he may have compiled everything on YouTube, I'm not sure, but really innovative stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to do something entertaining with Vine starting next week when we start posting up some for reals. The one I posted this week was more of a test just to see if I can make something even mildly engaging on Vine. So check that out if you get the chance. All right. The White Riot Show. Let's see. What do we want to talk about next? Oh, sure. Let's talk about this. As it turns out, Anthony Weiner, you remember Anthony Weiner. He's a guy with the funny last name, sounds like a penis, of course. A while back, he was forced to resign as a congressman from New York State because he was caught texting videos of his cock to girls. And by the way, girls, not his wife. So, very interesting things here. So, of course, Weiner got caught. First, he lied about it. Then Andrew Breitbart produced pictures of it, which were, of course, publicized by Opie and Anthony radio show. And so then he finally had to cop to the fact that they were his own cock pictures. So he had to resign. Anthony Weiner, ladies and gentlemen, yet another disgraced New York Democrat following in the tradition of Elliot Spitzer, who had to resign governorship of New York after being caught with a hooker on numerous occasions. Okay. And yes, I did say Democratic New York politician. Yes, I know there are Republicans that do the same thing. Please don't even bother. I understand it's politicians in general. Gotcha. But anyway, Anthony Weiner now has the balls, pun intended, to run for office. He wants to be mayor of New York. And today on the news this morning, I was treated to the really awkward and uncomfortable sight of Anthony Weiner standing at a train subway train platform in Harlem, greeting passersby as they were heading off to their morning jobs. And I'm saying to myself, what unmitigated gall? What chutzpah? A, that he's running for office to begin with, to me, is amazing. B, that somehow, by him standing there and getting all the abuse, because, you know, New Yorkers are not like other places on earth, folks. If you see a guy who was famous for quitting or resigning his congressional seat because he was holding his dick out and sending pictures of it to teenage girls or to young ladies, and who, by the way, today said, there's probably more pictures of my dick floating around. Okay? This guy stood there and was trying to get the support of the people. You know what New Yorkers had to say to him on the way passing by. Hey, Weiner, where's your cock? How big is your cock? You want to go in office so you could show your cock again? I mean, shit like that. Really infantile, right? And this guy has the balls to do it. Now, what's interesting is, of course, his wife is standing by him. And let's think of the parallels of this. This guy gets caught with his dick out on Twitter. Bill Clinton got caught with his dick out in Monica Lewinsky's mouth. And Jennifer Flowers. And a whole bunch of other, like, twats. Okay? Weiner's wife is one of the close associates of Hillary Clinton. And she's standing by her man. She supports her man. She isn't leaving him. Oh, but that's okay because ultra-feminist Hillary, the guiding light of women everywhere in the U.S., did the same thing. She stayed with a man who's a perennial serial philanderer. So, really, we have this wonderful parallel of the Clintons and the Weiners. And Anthony Weiner is going to fell off that horse. He's going to get right back on and start out by being mayor of New York. Slight problem here. The Clintons refused to endorse him. Now, probably because there's several Democratic candidates running in the primary this year who are pretty tight with the Clintons, from what I understand. Oh, and by the way, one of the funniest things in this whole thing was that the leader among the Democratic candidates so far, according to polls, is Christine Quinn. She's the president of city council, I believe. But she's an acknowledged lesbian. She's come out. She says she's a lesbian. She admits to being a lesbian. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, so I'm not slandering anyone by saying she's a lesbian. Anyway, so she was asked about Anthony Weiner yesterday, and she said, I don't want to talk about Weiner. And this struck me as hilarious, because here you have a lesbian who refuses to talk about a man who's named after a penis. Really? That's nice. Now, I can almost hear the guffaws, hopefully, on the other end of this mic. So, hopefully you enjoyed that joke. But yeah, Anthony Weiner, thinking he's going to be mayor of New York City. I really don't think he'll make it. I don't think he'll make it out of the Democratic primary. I hope he doesn't make it out of the Democratic primary. But then again, this is a city that voted a midget nanny to be mayor 3 times in a row. So anything can happen in New York City. Let's keep an eye on that. All right, more things of interest to me this week, and this was really interesting, was the way Congress hauled Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, to testify about Apple's tax-paying practices. Now, I know there's going to be a couple of 99 percenters out there. Hey, man, they're a big company. They have billions of dollars of profits. They have billions of dollars in cash just sitting around. And these motherfuckers don't pay too much tax on it. They hide their shit overseas and they refuse to bring it back into the U.S. Yeah. That's what corporations are legally bound to do. They're supposed to do everything that's legal in their power to maximize return and profit for their shareholders. That's what they're legally bound to do. Not morally bound, legally bound to do. What Apple does is what every company does. They take advantage of the tax code. Don't blame Apple because they have an Irish subsidiary that they cut a deal with legally, where they only have a 2% tax burden. Apple is, God bless Apple, even with all their tax, I don't want to use the word evasion, tax minimization, they still paid $6 billion in tax last year. Let me repeat that. They paid $6 billion in U.S. taxes last year. They were the top paying corporation in terms of money to the U.S. government. Apple alone accounts for 2% of the entire federal tax revenue. All right? If it wasn't for Apple, we'd all be worse off in a lot of different ways. Not just because I wouldn't have my iPhone and my iPad, but because their money would be missing from the till. In fiscal 2013, they're projected to pay $7 billion in taxes. And yet all Congress can do is pull this poor bastard Tim Cook in front of them and give him shit and make him sound like he's a goddamn criminal. He's not a criminal. You know what's criminal? The U.S. tax code is what's criminal. First of all, we have the second highest corporate tax rate in the world, 35% basically, second only to Japan. I won't even get into the argument that you shouldn't have corporate taxes anyway, because that income is going to be taxed twice, once on the corporate level, once on the individual level. But even if I take that argument out of the equation, you're mean to tell me if you're the U.S. government, you're charging the second highest corporate rate in the world, and you're surprised that companies try to figure out legal ways not to pay taxes? Why is Apple any different than me or you? When I do my taxes, I take every deduction that's legally available to me. So do most of the people, if not all of the people, that are listening to me right now. And by the way, all of us have the same thing around tax time. Did you get anything back from the IRS? Did you get a refund? Or do you owe more? And if you say, I got a big refund, everybody's like, all right. Nobody says, oh, you fucked somebody over. Yet when Apple does it, and again, the one thing that nobody in this inquisition claimed was that Apple did anything illegal. They just wanted to drag Apple in there and use them as a political talking point, maybe to distract from the president's nonsense with Benghazi and the AP and the IRS and James Rosen. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But why didn't anyone? Oh, let me take that back. Someone did call this out for what it was. Senator Rand Paul. Good for Senator Rand Paul when he sent out this stream of tweets saying that if the senators wanted to question who was responsible for all this lousy tax work, they should have brought a mirror into the Senate and looked at themselves and asked why is the tax code so bad. Oh, and by the way, not only does the U.S. have the second highest corporate tax rate in the world, they also charge a 35% repatriation penalty, which means Apple, for example, has these billions of dollars in their overseas subsidiaries, right? Say in Ireland. If they bring those profits back to the U.S., not only do they pay a 35% tax on it, they will then pay an additional 35% penalty, basically. Why would anybody in their right mind bring the money back? It is so bad that it was cheaper for Apple to borrow the money it needed to pay its shareholders dividends than it was for them to take money that's just sitting in an account somewhere getting interest. It was cheaper for them to borrow money to pay their dividends than to dip into their cash hoard. Because if they did that and brought it back to the U.S., they would have had to pay 35% off the top to Uncle Sam. And you seriously have senators that wonder out loud, why doesn't Apple bring more of their offshore profits back to the U.S.? That's why, stupid. If Rand Paul, again, had a great line. He goes, if you want to bring the profit back to this country, make it profitable for the profit to come back to this country. Make it friendly for this profit to come back to this country. Why let the Irish keep it? I mean, seriously, if you want to get down to brass tacks, why doesn't the government say, bring the money back? We won't charge you this 35% VIG, this extra. What the fuck? Can't we figure it out? Is it really that difficult to figure out? And Tim Cook isn't like he said, I don't want to pay any tax. He said, look, make the repatriation fee somewhere in the single digit, say 5, 7%. And then knock down the corporate rate to something reasonable like 20%, and you'll have all this money flowing back into the U.S. in no time. Because then it becomes cheaper to keep the money here. Or at least break even to keep the money here. Yeah, I know. I could almost hear you hippies out there amongst you saying, what about their sweatshops in China? Why don't they promise to bring American jobs back to the U.S., man? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. Primary being that while we all love our iPads, nobody wants to pay $1,500 for an iPad because that's what it'll cost if they start manufacturing them and servicing them here in the U.S. Oh yeah, we forget about that part. Unless, of course, hippies, you want Apple to bring all the jobs back to the U.S., pay top dollar to all its workers, pay 70% in taxes, and still manage to sell you an iPad for $400. Because if you could pull that trick off, please let me know how to do it. Right? Typically, people who say shit like this have no sort of understanding of economics, and they have no understanding of business. So lay off Apple's case. They're one of the great American business success stories in the last century, and we're giving them shit because they refuse to give their money away to the U.S. government. And again, can't be stressed enough, they did nothing illegal. Not even close to being illegal. They maximize their profit as they are legally bound to do as a corporation. So lay off Apple, one of the greatest companies ever, as far as I'm concerned. All right, you're listening to the White Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John. Judo Larry M. is on assignment somewhere in Europe, Scandinavia. He'll be back next week to regale us with tales of security, rioting in Sweden, hopefully of some young lovelies that he may have met over there. Judo Larry M. is quite the charmer when it comes to the ladies. So hopefully he'll have a story or two. If I'm lucky, he may have a video or two. I'm not too proud to admit it. I'm a married man. My sort of dating life is dead. I don't mind living vicariously through Judo Larry M. Why not? It's not a big deal, is it? Does that make me a bad person? I don't know. All right, let's end this up on another topic that I saw here today. Boy Scouts have announced in the U.S. that they are going to allow gay youth to join the Boy Scouts. Now, I've said it once, I've said it before. I couldn't care less if the Boy Scouts decided to allow gay members, which they are now saying they will do. They still reserve the right, and they're saying they're not going to allow any gay scout masters. They're not going to allow gay leaders, but gay kids, they seem to have passed this resolution to allow gay scouts. Now, let's keep something straight, okay? The Boy Scouts are a private organization. They should not be forced to do anything in terms of membership. If they want to be all male, all female, all straight, all gay, any mix in between, that's their prerogative. As far as I know, they don't take federal money. Everything is privately donated, private dues, everything. So, in that sense, they can do whatever they want. Now, they did decide, I guess, under public pressure to accept gay scouts. That's fine. But I saw a lot of gay advocacy groups today saying that's not enough. Tolerance is not enough. We need acceptance. We demand acceptance. See, this is what I've always discussed and sort of like argued with Judo Lariam. The point of these gay advocacy groups has never been tolerance, which is what we're all basically guaranteed in this country, is tolerance for our beliefs, tolerance for our choices. As long as we don't mess with anybody else, with any third party, people need to tolerate our choices. That's all we can reasonably ask for. You can't legislate morality. So the BSA, if they accept gay youth, and again, they were not bound to. They didn't have to. But they did under public pressure, whether they thought it would be to boost membership or not, I don't know. But they made a decision. Why are these groups now haranguing them? Because tolerance was never the goal of these groups, these advocacy groups. Tolerance was never the goal. Acceptance was the goal. Equal standing with non-homosexuals. Now, that's cool as a goal, but please don't try to, again, be honest with everyone. You're not looking for tolerance, you're looking for acceptance. And that's bullshit, in my opinion. I have to tolerate people I don't agree with. What's that line? I think I heard it on South Park once. It's like a screaming baby. You tolerate a screaming baby on a plane. You don't have to accept a screaming baby on a plane. I don't have to like a screaming baby on the plane. I don't have to ask that every plane has a screaming baby on it. But if there happens to be a screaming baby on the plane, I have to tolerate that screaming baby. Because in some weird way, that's a form of free speech, right? So that's the difference between tolerance and acceptance. So when you see like some of these groups on Twitter saying, not enough, tolerance is not enough, it was never enough. Hey, guess what? It is enough. It should be enough. Anything more than that is coercion. Now, it's not governmental coercion, so I kind of give it a pass a little bit. I don't get as worked up about that. But it's still coercion. I can't just tolerate me having vanilla when you like chocolate. I have to force you to like vanilla instead of chocolate. That's what it comes down to. You're forcing your beliefs on others. Now, I'm hip to the fact that homosexuals in this country have had a rough time of it throughout history. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke and say that it's all been peaches and cream. Come on. I mean, we know that's not the case. But two wrongs don't make a right. And especially since the BSA is a private organization, this is just bullying, if I can steal a page from the liberal playbook here and the PC playbook. It's bullying. You're trying to intimidate the Boy Scouts. You're trying to intimidate the members of the Boy Scouts into acceding to your demands. And that is just as shameful as a straight group trying to cure a gay guy. Right? That is the exact same thing. Now, you may say, oh, it's not the same thing. No gay man is trying to switch straight Boy Scouts into gay Boy Scouts, but you're trying to change their culture. You're trying to take a private organization's beliefs and change them to accept your belief system. That's what you're doing. That's what you're attempting to do. And that is bullshit. Call it what it is. You're trying to strong arm, you're trying to bully, you're trying to coerce. Admit that. And plus, who the fuck knows? Boy Scouts just let in gay scouts. Those gay scouts grow up. And if they have a pleasant enough experience, they're going to come back and want to be gay scoutmasters. And it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen a year from now. It may not happen 5 years from now. But you know where this is heading, just the way society is moving. So why are you being like fucking little coercive bitches right now and you need everything to happen right away? People have no patience anymore. People have no tolerance for a drawn-out process anymore. Societal changes of this magnitude do not happen overnight. They don't. When they do, that's when you typically have revolutions. That's when you typically have rioting. Okay? That's what happens when you try to take these types of changes and cram them down people's throats by force of law. That's why you have the saying that you can't legislate morality. Same applies for race equality. The same applies for abortion. The same applies for acceptance of homosexuality. All that stuff. People have to come to their own conclusions. People have to live with their own choices and make their own choices. You can't force responsible adults to kowtow to your way of thinking simply because you think, look, I'm sitting here, I'm trying to convince you of my views. I'm trying to convince you of my point of view, my opinion, my thinking, whatever. But I'm not coercing you. I'm not forcing you to sit down and listen to my dopey voice or this stupid podcast. It's got to be an agreed-to situation. You agree to listen to me rant. You agree by downloading this podcast on iTunes. You agree by listening to this podcast on YouTube. You agree to it by following us on Twitter, twitter.com/WhiteRiotShow. Right? No one is putting a gun to my head or to your head saying, listen to the right-wing nonsense that Big Fat John and Judo Larry M spit out every week. And that's the difference. And that's what we have to keep in mind here. I can try to convince you, but I can't legislate you into believing what I believe. So, for all you gay advocacy groups, keep trying to convince me that we absolutely need gay Boy Scout leaders, gay Scoutmasters, in order to cure the world's ills. But please, if I happen to disagree with you, don't go into a bitchy little hissy fit, okay? Let's just agree to disagree. All right. On that note, let me wrap this up. First of all, thoughts and prayers, and I say this just to piss off all the atheists out there. Thoughts and prayers, obviously, to the people of Oklahoma who survived that almost unimaginable type of horror, the devastating tornadoes. In some ways, even though the death toll, you know, was, I think, 24, and that's tragic, it's a little bit of a wonder or a miracle that it wasn't much higher. And I guess that in itself might be something to be thankful for. Definitely our thoughts are with them. If you can, please help. Send them a couple of bucks if you can spare it. If you live in the area and you can donate some muscle, some sweat equity, feel free to do so. And that's about it. That's it for Big Fat John. I've talked too much already, as I'm sure most of you would agree with. So on that note, let me just say, you've been listening to The White Riot Show. This has been your host, Big Fat John. Judah Larriam will be with us again next week. Until then, check us out on twitter.com/WhiteRiotShow, facebook.com/WhiteRiotShow. Go to iTunes, download the podcast, leave us some positive feedback. Until next week, peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. And I'm not wearing any pants.